Welcome back. To an immersive exploration of Windows 8. Following up from the last podcast. For October 7th, 2011, which is when this podcast was recorded, I want to welcome everyone back after our first recording in the virtual studio, as always. Joining me, I have Kevin.
Hello.
Are you here, Kevin? And we have Alex. Are you also here?
What are you doing? Yep, I'm here.
Good stuff. So, we are back, I think from popular demand, partially, and partially because we just love Windows 8. It's a great OS, and no, I'm not being sarcastic here, I do love Windows 8, I use it every day still. It's on my primary laptops, my primary desktop in my dorm room, so it's a risk, but one which I took for good, I think. Do you guys use Windows 8 every day, or how often are you guys using
it? For the first week or so when the developer preview came out, I was using it about every day, and it kind of died off, but
oh, okay.
Probably check into it every now and then.
Yeah, say hi to it.
I haven't been using Windows 8 all that often lately, partly because it's in a virtual machine, and I don't really, it's not really ready for production. I mean, I've had my field day with the bug filing, and after that, I just kind of was like, all right, well, let's see if they fix this in a future update.
There are definitely a lot of issues, and today's goal is to go in-depth into Windows 8. That's why it's called the Immersive Windows 8 Podcast.
We shall immerse ourselves in its greatness and some of its pitfalls.
Yeah, and we're immersed users in all the greatness that's Windows 8, too.
Right. So, at the same time, you know, there is a way to get the classic Windows desktop back. And I've sort of been cheating because I have switched back to the classic Windows desktop when I use it for mainstream use. I mean, it's like Windows 7 almost.
That's always a good thing, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And it runs lighter.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, it uses a lot less RAM and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there is that, but you also run into, I mean, the fact that this is an early developer preview runs all the issues that entails. So, I mean, if you're going to go for the Windows, I mean, for me at least, if I'm going to go Windows 7 experience, I have a Windows 7 laptop. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's actually a good way to get into all this, because this is sort of, if you haven't heard the first podcast, I really strongly suggest you listen to it. I know a lot of people.
And for people saying it's long, just sit down, grab yourself a cup of coffee, and I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in there. It's just kind of a fireside chat. I know we kind of scatterbrained it a little bit, but there's a lot of, you know, good things in there. So,
but you know,
definitely pick it up.
Even professional podcasts like Twit, This Week in Tech, if you haven't heard of it, it's run by Leo Laporte over at twit.tv. They're professional, but they really do provide a connection that you have with the host of the podcast. And that's sort of the goal that I want to have here, is that you don't feel like this is a total formal environment, but it's serious enough that allows us to joke around sometimes and other times discuss features. So that's the goal here. It's to make it this lighter yet immersive experience.
So what are we going to be... We're going to somewhat revisit a subject that we kind of talked about last time, but I think it's pretty core to Windows 8, the whole Metro-style apps.
I think that's the centerpiece of Windows 8, really. Yeah. You can't do Windows 8 without talking Metro, obviously, because then it's Windows 7, pretty much.
Yep.
But if you start up Windows 8, you're on your home screen. I sort of wanted to talk Metro, but I think also about the ribbons. So, the best place to start is the ribbons, actually. Because
and actually, I think the whole ribbon concept is something that, I mean, anyone who's used Windows or Office, Microsoft, both Microsoft products, will be somewhat familiar with it. Well, and they've brought that over to Windows Explorer.
Here's why Ribbons is a good place to start at. First of all, Metro apps are all about being immersive. That means there are containers, there are lists, there are buttons. They're not like regular Windows apps. You can even tell when you navigate around a Metro app that it's not like any Windows app has ever been. So Ribbons sort of will allow us to sort of go into this visual representation of what Windows 8 is. I think it's a good transition. So the best way to look at Ribbons, personally, is to use Microsoft Narrator.
Narrator window. Focus on welcome to Narrator.
How's the volume on that, by the way?
To hear the corresponding key.
It's just fabulous. The volume.
Is the volume okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the ribbon pops up in any Explorer window. It replaces the menu bar completely, just as it did in Microsoft Office. And some companies have done things like virtual ribbons to make it easier on people. I don't know if that's needed here at all because of the way it's presented to a person. So let's open the computer window with Windows E.
Computer window. Focus on local disk. C. Non-selected. 1 of 1.
1 of 1 because there's only one hard drive in this group. So I can use my arrows too.
DVD drive. D. UD. Space free. 0. DVD.
To
devices
move.
With removable storage. 2.
To move between my drives. But I'm going to jump and use the narrator keys, which are Alt and Windows. And I'm going to use my left and right arrows to navigate the screen because that's, I think, how they intend you to use Narrator. I don't think Microsoft wants you to use the actual arrows, just as Apple usually refers to voiceover keys or commands using the voiceover keys, not using Tab or Shift Tab or the arrow keys. So, if you use the Narrator left and right arrows,
DVD drive, D. Devices, no previous item, DVD, devices with removable storage, 2.
So you have this group. If you hit up arrow, so narrator plus up arrow, you can move to the previous container. So think of this as a box within a box within a box within a box. You basically have these smaller boxes, and right now we are in the smallest box. And when I hit narrator plus up arrow, we move to the box with the prior size of this one. Slightly larger box. And we have
network devices with removable storage, group, hard disk drives, group, no previous item, no next item, network location, group.
So you have
menu,
these main, groups.
Computer.
Oops. And that's one set of boxes. And you can hit narrator plus down arrow to move into that box, or that container, as they call it. Moving up one more, we have
no previous DVD drive, devices with remove items view, DVD drive, no previous, no next item.
We have the items view group. Moving one more up, we have
shell folder view, pane, control yep. host, pane, status bar, status bar.
So now we're at the sort of window level. I think you can move one up, one more up.
Explorer pane, pane, no next item, no previous item.
And that's
yep,
the Explorer
so that'd be like
pane.
The main window of the my computer.
Yeah, right, right. So if you move down into the Explorer pane, you will find the shell folder view.
Control host pane.
In the control host pane,
no previous
you
control,
have
namespace tree control, tree.
The tree view.
No next item. Status bar, no previous item.
I'm pretty sure you have
property field, group. Property
the
field,
ribbon.
Total item count. Status bar,
that's the total item
no previous
stuff.
Item. Computer tab item selected.
Ah,
Alt.
There's the ribbon.
See.
Okay, so we have the ribbon here. You can actually hit Alt. That was probably an easier way to do it, is to just hit Alt to get the ribbon. But you can find it with the arrow keys also, if you wanted. So, that's the ribbon. And we have tabs in the ribbon. Let's take a look.
Computer.
I believe you step into the ribbon with the down arrow though. Chat narrator key. Plus down arrow. Well, you can also use narrator plus down arrow to step into it.
Item yeah. does not contain view tag. Compute item does
I've
not.
I've used it before. Let's see.
You gotta open help it up button. First.
Alt. Y. Open button. Alt.
Ah.
No pre. Nope. Properties button. Open
so
button.
You have these
no next item.
Options in the ribbon.
Rename button. Toolbar. Alt. C.
So.
DVD drive.
Essentially.
Computer tab. Open button. Alt. Properties button. Alt.
It is a little bit hard to envision how ribbons look like because they are comprised of the upper ribbon and the lower ribbon. And the upper ribbon is the tabs, and then the lower ribbon is the options. But once you get that visual concept down, I think you have a pretty easy grasp of how to use them.
Rename button. Map
yeah,
network.
Rename.
Add a network location.
One other thing too is open control you can tab through when you find a tab you want with the left and right arrows. You tab through.
I think tabbing is easier.
And
yeah.
It'll go through all of those items, not just a specific group. So like if you just arrow around, if you arrow down once to get into the group of things underneath that tab, and you keep arrowing, it'll just bounce around as if you tab through, it'll actually go to each one.
Yeah, tabbing is the best way to do it. Even narrator, if you want to use, I mean, I'm using the narrator left and right arrows right now.
Open control.
To move between the two, you know, the ribbon options, but you can, like right now I'm tabbing.
Uninstall or change a program button.
I'm using the tab and I'm moving also. So I think both are options that people can use if they want.
System properties.
Yeah,
button.
I mean, the whole ribbon concept, I think Microsoft's done quite a good job as far as slowly kind of easing people to it. I mean, it's first introduced in Vista and Office 2007 in those respective kind of environments. And the navigation and stuff like that method is the same. You alt so to bring up the ribbon, arrow across, and tab through it.
So if you are used to, you know, navigating ribbons, this will be at home for you. But what I wanted to point out also is that with Narrator, you can really get a visual feel for a window.
Vertically scroll to 0% on namespace tree control.
And also get a feel of how a ribbon almost looks like too. So it really gives you a visual, a very good visual representation of your window. And ribbons will replace everything.
I actually talked to people, sighted people, sighted individuals, and they, when Vista and Office 2007 and all that stuff came out, some people really love the ribbons and some hate them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The general consensus seems to be, at least from sighted individuals, that the ribbon is more organized than a menu bar, which I disagree with that because I like keyboard, you know, I'm a keyboard, you know, we're keyboard users.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be something we have to suck up and deal with, I guess, because Microsoft doesn't, you can't switch it off very easily. It's such a deep thing in the, you know, it's a deep thing to switch, deep feature. They can't just go toggle it, but that'd be nice.
I don't know if it's more organized or not because there definitely is a more sense of category since you now have view and the home. But it is harder to find, I think for someone who is blind, for example, mm-hmm. it's hard to find an option in the ribbon unless you know the shortcut for that option.
Yeah, and even
it's
that
it's funny, I guess I'm kind of in the minority here, and I mean, not only with this podcast, but elsewhere we're talking about the ribbon and stuff like that. I think the ribbon works pretty well, especially, I mean, once you are able to explore, get an idea of where different things are, and also with different functions and actions that you perform often enough, you're still able to, a few keystrokes, shortcuts, whatever, you can still get to them.
Yeah, true. And, yeah, keyboard shortcuts are not going away. In fact, the context menu, which is the right click, so or the applications key, will still present a menu bar. I mean, I can still hit the applications key if I wanted to make a new folder, let's say.
Local,
go into local
disk,
hit applications.
Context, prop, rename, create.
You still have your menu bar here.
Format,
so
compress to
you really aren't getting rid of menus completely, but you are replacing the main menu bar.
Yeah, the main options.
Yeah.
With
ribbons. Yeah, so you're kind of traditional, your file menu, but you still have your context, your file menu, right. That's usually at the top of the application.
So
but
if
your
context
menu
context.
With your shift F10, yeah. Right click, or application key still is still present.
So that's good to point out, because I think people that are transitioning, you can still use your context menu to do what you used to be able to do, or most of the stuff that you were able to do. But I think slowly people might start transitioning over into ribbon world.
Exploring the ribbons, yeah.
Yeah. When the search box came in the start menu in Windows Vista, people, and I was one of these people, I was never a fan of the search box at first, because I was used to being able to hit P for programs, accessories, yep. A, E, entertainment, V, volume control. Rather than actually typing out V-O-L-U-M for volume control in my search box. But over time, I sort of developed a love relationship with the search box, and I use it now every day, so it's that sort of thing, I think, here too. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the search box, I think this is a good way to transition into what we're going to do next. I wanted to talk about the search box. What happens to the search box in Windows 8? This is a question that was asked at least by one person.
NVDA window.
Here we have NVDA. If you hit your start button, you will get into your start screen.
Start apps list of programs in this new. A name group proven. Internet Explorer tile logo.png image not selected.
Is there a sound, by the way, right? This is going through the... Okay. So, if I start typing here, for example, I type in the word system. Let's see what pops up.
S-Y-S-T-E-M. All apps list of programs in this new. A name group proven. System information not selected. Launch system information.
So we have apps, but
system access mobile network not selected. Launch system.
We have that, and that's it. So, how do I get into my system settings dialog? You're probably asking. You can tab.
Search pane. Search apps list. Apps.
And choose between apps.
Settings.
Files.
Build. Internet Explorer.
Memories. Memories. So basically all these, you can even search apps. And this is where we're getting into the Metro way of doing things. Because these apps, like Memories,
Near Me,
Notespace, Pickstream, all of these apps can create their own category in this what to search list. So if I got Facebook and I had my friend named Heather, if I typed in the word Heather, I could search Facebook for the word Heather if I chose Facebook from this list of apps. This is sort of the power of Metro. These apps can directly connect into even the search box of the start screen. So the difference and sort of the drawback of this is that when you do a search, you have to manually choose what you want to search, rather than it being presented to you like with Windows 7 in that list, documents, settings, you know, like you could choose between those. So that's sort of a disadvantage, but the advantage, I think, which is far outweighing with this, is the fact that you do have the ability to search actual apps and content within apps.
Settings.
But if I chose settings, I wanted to open the system control panel, let's say.
Settings. Search box edit search. System. Settings search.
I
system. Windows Experience Index link.
Oh, okay, so it opened the system. There it is.
Oh, okay.
So you can do that.
Windows app map.
Obviously that worked.
NVDA icon 2, sound icon 3.
So, that's the new search experience in Windows 8. And one important thing, an aspect we need to mention about Metro, is that the original goal of Microsoft with Metro is that you're not supposed to quit apps. Apps will automatically, when you Alt-Tab, or they're going to create, and this has been confirmed, but they will create an app switcher sort of dialog where you can switch between all Metro apps quickly without having to Alt-Tab between 10 million windows. So when you open a new app, the app that you had open will suspend itself into RAM, stop using the CPU. I am sure that they will allow for some background processing or multitasking in that sense. But generally the app will not use much, if any at all, CPU power. So because of this, they don't see a point in people Alt-F4ing or quitting apps. But you do have a task manager that's called the Metro Task Manager, which aims to give people the ability to see what condition apps are in and how they work. At the same time, you can still access, for those users that are transitioning over to this new interface, the old style Windows Task Manager. If I hit Control Shift Escape, which is the command to open Task Manager, you get the new one.
Windows Task Manager.
And as you can probably tell, there was no announcement of what's in the window. That's because this is the Metro Task Manager.
But yeah, you can use didn't even Microsoft, say it was a dialogue.
Yeah, it doesn't speak anything. So Microsoft really doesn't want you to kind of close or quit applications. Especially if you're using a screen reader.
Yeah.
I mean, with the current state of things with the Task Manager, it's inaccessible and unusable with Narrator, NVDA, and all that stuff.
NVDA, well, we'll get to that, but Narrator definitely doesn't work. It tells you no previous, no next. Narrator will just not see anything. NVDA.
Way to go, Microsoft.
Yeah, I know. So let's use the object navigation commands of NVDA to see what's in this window.
No next. Close button closes the list of items list. Change view button, more details. End task button and end task alt plus E. No next. Change view button, more details. List of items list. Row details, row details. Move navigator object to mouse. Row details, header item, row details.
Tab and arrows don't seem to work. And even as you could hear, there's a list of apps there. But the apps that I'm under, or is highlighted, isn't being told to me. But Alt E would probably still work. I just don't know what I'd be ending.
So if you open up the real one with Windows key R and type in task MGR, that's the real one.
That's the good one that we know and
can use.
Yeah. But if you do the registry hack to bring back the Windows 8 style, that gets rid of your ribbons, it gets rid of the task manager, everything Metro, and your new start screen as well. So
you're back to Windows 7 basically.
TASKMGR, Windows Task Manager dialog, applications property page, task list.
So you have the standard.
Header control list, new task, but tab one tab processes property page, processes list. Header control show
we're
processes.
We're all pretty familiar with the
property, yeah, so everything's
standard task manager.
Everything's the same. The kingdom of Windows 8, as mentioned, revolves around Metro. So Microsoft is really allowing access, the most access for Metro apps. I believe that the classic legacy Windows apps will slowly die out. I mean, Metro apps are the ones that are allowed to take advantage of all of these new things like location, integrating with the search box. Basically, the old style Windows apps will not be able to do that.
No, but I don't think they'll completely die though, because a lot of people, and I kind of have, I sort of agree that like on a powerful desktop, I could care less about using Tweet-O-Rama, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather use a nice, full-featured, like, I want a full-screen media player that I can, you know, have a menu bar and everything like that. I don't want to use, like, a cute Metro one with touch buttons, you know, on a desktop computer.
Yeah.
Or have two versions of the app, you know, one for, like, the desktop user, and then if you're running Windows 8 on a tablet or something with a touchscreen, you know, you can go into the Metro interface.
You know what's a big thing about this Metro problem on desktop apps is that the icons for uninstalling and registering apps go on your home screen. So these shortcuts for these classic apps are the ones that litter your home screen, because you don't need the uninstall shortcut, you know, on the home screen. You might have needed it in the start menu when this stuff was in its own program group, but now that you're pretty much on one home screen, you don't want to have that clutter caused by uninstall icons and things like that. But yes, that's a very, I think, pressing thing that Microsoft will need to address. One thing that Microsoft wants to do, and it's very clever, really it is, is allow people to log in to their PCs with their Windows Live ID. And when you log in, you have the same settings, the same documents, applications, even, I guess, across every PC that you have. So it's almost synced. Even the state, what's really nice about this is, unlike with iCloud, even the state of apps, for example, where I left a game off on one PC, are synced up to the cloud, so up to your Windows Live account. And so when you log in from another PC, you can continue that game right where you left it from the PC that you were logged in before when you're playing it. And essentially, this stores all the info on your Windows Live account. And I think for a lot of people, that's a very scary thought. Privacy, all of that. But once you click this button here,
log on with the Windows Live ID window, email address edit, when
you get to a famous window that you can't tab through.
Yeah, and also you heard kind of NVIDIA having a bit of trouble with that specific window.
Right.
Log on with the Windows Control log on with the Windows Live ID window. Welcome to Windows Live document. Email address edit.
But you can't navigate that at all. So you can type in your email address as long as you want all day long, but
that's going to be really powerful, I think, because kind of like Android, I have a theory that, you know, seeing as everything's going to be synced up.
Oh,
if you buy an app on one computer, as long as it's compatible with other devices that are hooked up to that Windows Live account, you will be able to push other apps to the other computers.
Right.
As soon
right.
as you connect to the internet and sign back into Live, it'll sync those up to your other PCs.
I definitely see kind of like that Android. Happening, yeah. And also with the Windows Store, it's good to point out that both classic apps and newer Metro apps will be available there.
I think they'll predominantly they're going to try to move and have Metro apps primarily most of the stuff that we're kind of talking about though is more or less speculation because the store isn't live running.
Well, actually, not even live. No, it's not. So you can't even buy apps.
It's not. I mean,
I wonder how when they're going to roll that out. Probably later in the beta cycle.
Yeah, I would.
Well,
think.
I think this is the time now for developers to actually build stuff.
Yeah. So I would say by January, February, we might see the Windows Store go live. These two get started buttons. Let's read the text before them with object navigation real quick.
If your PC isn't running, refresh your PC without affecting your files text. Highlight misspelled words like refresh your PC without affecting your files text. If your PC isn't running well, you can reload Windows without losing your photos, music, videos, and other personal files text. Get started button focused. Reset your PC and start over text. If you are about to give your PC away, you can put it back to the way it was originally and remove all your files text. Get started button.
So they kind of need to work on that too. I mean, just having a get started button out of context doesn't actually make sense.
Right. But
they should have refresh and reset as the button labels, but that kind of takes all the explanation out of it because it basically just explained in about 20 seconds what we would have tried to say in 5 minutes. So
there's a big difference between the two options. One keeps your files and your Metro apps, and it's good out that it only keeps your Metro apps. It doesn't keep your classic desktop apps, but it will keep your Metro apps. And reset is just a reset. I mean, everything is
back
gone. Defaults,
everything right back to normal.
Yeah, right. So it's pretty simple. It's good. It's a huge evolution because you don't have to reinstall Windows every few months or every few years nowadays, I think. If you get a virus, you just hit refresh my PC and hopefully the virus is gone.
I think, since we've kind of been talking about Metro, mm-hmm. I think people would like to see what the heck these Metro things are all about.
Let's dive in.
Let's go ahead and get immersed into these Metro apps and see what they're made out of or how can...
So, you have two versions of Internet Explorer. You have a sort of Metro, as they call it, the immersive browser, and the classic IE that we're used to. The difference? Well, for starters, the immersive browser, or the Metro browser, as you want to call it, either or works. Microsoft calls it the immersive browser, though.
They also called it the Chromeless browser.
Yeah, that too, because it's a full screen app.
You don't have your menu bar.
No.
You don't have your toolbars. You don't
there's
have.
There's no plugins.
Pretty much, you're just dealing with the straight content at that point.
Yep. It's just all content.
And so, no Flash works on this at all. Flash
or Silverlight
or any plugin that you have will not be accessible through this new browser. So let's go to Google.
Google.com. Google-Windows and Google Document Google Search Edit. Land.
Isn't that
immersive nav bar container. Navigation bar toolbar. Search Edit Control Edit. Select
no, this is the Internet Explorer. Then immersive. As you could hear, it's an immersive nav bar.
Change background image.
But this is Google, and the page
visited link.
Is accessible
visited link change background.
Just like anything else would be.
Visited link change background image. Link privacy. Link about Google. Link business. Link AdWords.
But if you hit
so, I mean, actually, from like a screen reader point, it's
yeah,
pretty it's much like the same.
Yeah, you just almost. If you tap Alt, there's no menus.
Nope.
Yeah.
That nothing happened. If you hit yep. F6. F6 will.
Immersive nav bar container, navigation bar toolbar, rich edit control edit. Select
you have a toolbar with the address bar in there that you can use.
Page control toolbar. Google list with 8 items plus immersive nav.
And that's all you have, I think. Yeah, that's all you got.
Google. And it's probably like a back button, forward button.
Control O doesn't work.
Web link.
So the only way you can go from page to page is with F6.
Immersive nav bar container. Land.
Delete
you
that.
Know, one thing I should mention too. There's no options. There's no like way to go in and customize, you know, like add these sites to your homepage.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Or when you start up, or there's nothing like that. It's all just browse. That's it.
I'm still wondering how they're
clear
going
your
to.
Cookies. You can't
no.
You
change
can
your
files.
Tab browsing.
But that's it. You can download stuff and it shows up in that toolbar. I've done that. But there's literally just browsing. There's no customizability at all. So I guess for minimalism, that's good.
Yeah, no, I think actually for most users, I mean, people probably go in there and they start changing this and changing that and start changing the privacy setting and get cranking up to 100 and disable a bunch of things and wonder why pages aren't loading anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So I think this is a very good thing for most of the user base.
And I'm sure, as we've said, I think countless times now, this is a dev build. They're going to have to add some incognito mode or in private browsing options too, because there have to be some things, and there will probably be ways to get to the internet options dialog, either from the new control panel, or you can definitely get to them through either the old browser or the old control panel, but this is basically using the same engine, the same even process file, iexplore.exe in Task Manager, as the old browser did. So you're basically, you're using the same components, except that there is a Metro element to this, which is the fact that you can't close it, for example, you can't Alt+F4 this app.
Yep.
Nothing happens.
Yeah, so that's IE. You want to probably go ahead and move on to another Metro app?
Let's do the stocks, that one's actually pretty accessible.
To get to the non-Metro IE, you can bring up the run dialog, and just as you do with Task Manager, type in iexplore to open the non-Metro Internet Explorer. So the stocks app. It's a good little app, and it's a great demo for the way live tiles work.
Store type stocks at a name group grouping. Stocks MSFT, -0.09, last trade 26.25, last trade time fry 01:00 PMPTT, open 26.34, expanded not selected, launch stocks row 1, column 3.
So right there, right when you move to the tile, you already get some very kind of key
stocks
information
NASDAQ,
without having to do
anything.
And this is NASDAQ,
last
so
trade
it
time fry 02:16 PMP.
Basically it updates
too.
It updates the numbers.
and it remembered what we were last on.
If I open this app, there's the famous Metro startup sound. That's actually NVDA causing an error.
An error.
Yeah. And that's... It won't be there. I can guarantee it. When the final Windows 8 time comes out, it won't be there. But we can tab around here and see what's...
List. Now linked out.
So you have a list of tickers.
NASDAQ. Link NASDAQ.
There's NASDAQ.
MSFT. Link MSFT. Button.
Microsoft.
Button. Button.
You have these three unlabeled buttons that I have no idea what they do, since clicking them doesn't seem to yield any result. But if you tab once more,
collections list, Industrivarden NAV slash share drops 39% this year semi. Valvo Holding Key Swedish Investment Company Industrivarden AB left parent into dash A.SK right parent said Wednesday it wants to be long 30 as the equity value of its holdings fell and declining stock markets weighed on industrial companies. Dash.
So you have.
Yeah, and then it's also possible to switch on flat review and then
read that
review
line
stuff by line, working characters and all that stuff.
But if you go back to the list of the stocks tickers, you will have.
List. Now linked out.
Let's click on MSFT.
NASDAQ, link NASDAQ. MSFT, link MSFT.
Enter. And you can shift tab back to that.
NASDAQ, link.
Collections.
Now link.
Thing.
Collections list. Microsoft Corporation left parent NASDAQ colon MSFT right parent office 2007 SP3 coming soon. Microsoft Corp left parent NASDAQ colon MSFT right parent stocks were at 26.34 at the end of the last day's trading. There's been a minus 1.6% change in the stock price over the past 3 months. Not
so you actually get stock analysis of what is going on with that company. It's a very easy app, but as you can tell, no menu bars. Alt does nothing. And the app itself is, the interface is very simple. Very, very simple. I think you can't get any more simple than this. For stocks, at least. Other apps.
Yeah.
I have a Twitter app.
Windows
which is actually not that bad.
My experience with Twitterama, it's kind of been a read-only sort of thing for me. Mm-hmm. I've been able to somewhat navigate around and read the tweets, but interacting with the tweets or
the thing with
out
that
tweet,
also, it's also one of those apps that changes the tile. So right now,
Twitterama first robotics competition at number connect giving students true quote hands off quote op w slash natural user interface http colon slash slash t.co slash hippo my memes news left bracket one right bracket dot jpg image expanded not selected launch Twitterama 03 column 3 Twitterama war drones keep flying despite computer virus http colon slash slash t.co slash gal3f4l Reuters line Twitter line avatar line bigger left bracket one right bracket dot jpg image Twitterama reducing runtime memory dash dash new post http colon desk.
So I think it really updates. I don't think it's your Twitter stream that it updates from. I think it's a general Twitter stream. But if I opened it,
Twitterama, document, host window, pane, Twitter sign up proofing, heading.
Oh, you have to sign into Twitter.
Land.
Looks like.
Password edit protected. Username or email. Twitterama developer by Microsoft Corporation. Sign in.
Let's sign in real quick.
IOT. Password edit protected.
Have you Alex been able to get Twitter reply to Twitter or anything like that?
Twitterama?
When I tried it, everything crashed. No, really. When I tried it with Narrator and NVDA, and both times, Narrator crashed and NVDA crashed. And I ended up having one time with Narrator, I actually had to restart completely. So, not real excited about that.
Yeah. Well,
I know from that the app is functional
is.
When you're not having to use accessibility stuff, because I've seen people tweeting from it and all that.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure you can't tweet from it if you're blind?
You can give it a try, but I haven't been able to, and it doesn't sound like Alex either.
Graphic HD, text retweet. Graphic MS dash text 140 days ago. Text dash dash Martin Luther, text Pamela Parker. Sand, confidently line, Ari, link, confident, text Ari. Text quote, the only B5 line, text less than a minute ago. Graphic MS text less than a minute ago. Santiago.
So I don't know how the app is actually laid out, but
once you get past all that stuff, you pretty much have a link per for each tweet. But then towards the bottom, you have these few buttons that are also disabled button. And I'm sure that probably one of those is to
new tweet mention.
Yeah, and all that.
Compose private message or direct message. A whole bunch of stuff.
Load more friends, but yeah, but they don't seem to do anything with Streamator.
Another one of those, I filed bugs, of course, that everything should have keystrokes where possible, you know, control N for new tweet. Control shift B or something for direct message, you know, those kinds of things,
because
I don't want to go tabbing around. I mean, it's supposed to be efficient and not just for
clicking, right,
pointing and touching the screen. It should be efficient for everybody.
I think for everyone, yeah. And now that you mentioned touching the screen, NVDA, for example, with Windows 8 will allow touchscreen access, so you will be able to use touch tablets. Microsoft is basically allowing people to hook into the touch interface of Windows 8.
Yeah, the infrastructure. And and it's not just NVDA. I mean, if
JAWS wants to,
and GW and Saratech want to jump on that bandwagon, they certainly can.
Right. What about showing perhaps the news?
Socialite with logo. Tweet a drama war drone. A name 5 in a row. Logo. Built. The thing with the news. A name group. Store. Stocks. MSF. Store. Internet Explorer. Store. Stock. A name group. Extreme white. Built. Popular 5 in a row. Logo. A name group. Stocks. MSF.
The same thing with those apps. Windows. It's control, not fully panel, accessible. Build,
line 2x1 line 0016 line news. PNG image expanded. Not selected. Launch news. Row 2 column 3.
News. Is that you open it up
and you can kind of you can get the first thing to read, but when it actually comes to being productive and like actually like doing something in the app useful, it won't let you do it.
Well,
you can click on it, you can hit enter.
You have these this list
reducing
here.
Runtime memory in Windows 8 not selected.
Of publications.
Reducing runtime. Designing the start screen not selected 1 of 8. Evolving the start menu not selected 2 of 8.
Reducing runtime this memory. Is actually, somehow I got one of the blogs to open up.
Reducing runtime memory. Designing list, reducing.
So I, now I can't go back to the list of blogs, but there's like 50 or 60 publications that they have in here. And right now, I'm in the building Windows 8 blog.
Designing, evolving, see more, not selected, 7 of 8, re-engineering the Windows boot experience, not selected, 6 of 8.
So this is the reducing sort of blog publication.
Text. We know if we do even better that there are more resources for apps, even if we keep the published requirements the same. It is fun to think about what the quote low-end quote hardware looked like in 2009 and how you can't even find things like 256 MB memory modules anymore. We wanted to ensure that people running on Windows 7-era hardware would have the option to easily upgrade their existing machines to Windows 8 and take advantage of the functionality it has to offer. We also expect that many machines that predate the Windows 7 release will run Windows 8 based on the experiences we've had with older machines we intentionally keep in our performance test infrastructure. Text. An important task for Windows 8 was to make room for new functionality while looking for opportunities to reduce the memory consumed by existing functionality and consumed across the board. Windows 8 is tracking well towards meeting the goal we set ourselves.
So
well, that's good.
This doc, Jason's blog about protecting you from malware. Link Jason.
It kind of took some.
Slash.
You can read it.
Heading. Traits of Metro style.
But it's not. It might
look
like a
web page.
I don't
know if that's the right article, though. It might have just defaulted to the first one in the list.
I just hit enter on that. This is what happened.
Windows 8 live as with the HD lower quality.
Now, how do I get back to my list? That's the big question. I hit escape and it moved back to it. Oh, good.
Designing the start screen, not reducing runtime memory.
Well, that's a
maybe
nice
escape
thing.
Is the good key.
Reducing runtime memory in Windows 8 not
if so, if I clicked on
designing the start screen, not
design the start screen, you hit enter.
News document. Heading. Reducing runtime memory in Windows 8. Link. Reducing runtime memory in Windows 8.
So it autofocuses the top of the document.
Yeah, but no it next. Also says no reducing runtime. It's not the right article.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still on the original one. List.
Reducing runtime.
So what if you do an NVDA F5 to refresh the document buffer?
Well,
designing the start screen. News document. Heading. Reducing runtime memory. News document.
Okay, so it's not even loading
list.
It.
Designing the start screen. Move navigator object to mouse. List item.
Yeah, just click it.
News document. Heading. Reducing runtime memory. News.
Yeah, it's still
list.
Stuck in the.
Designing the start, start menu. Right click. Designing the start screen. 1 of 8.
What should we go into?
Reducing runtime memory.
I guess that one's pretty much not going to. So you are right. It did default to the first article. That's what happened. I always get my hopes up with these things, but yeah, the alarm is also one of those not even half baked. Apps.
It's one of those ones that, like, you get the pizza in the oven, but the pilot light's out.
So the alarms app.
I mean, I know it's a developer preview, but come on.
You can do an
edit.
You can set a time here, I think.
Slider. 8:56 PM off. 8:56 PM
Oh yeah, those sliders. As we found out earlier, you need to actually hit space on those. There's one that's AM and PM.
Right.
No, it's not a slider. It's a button.
It should be called.
Maybe it's a touch button. That's a draggable button, but you push it with the space bar. I don't know what
narrator calls
there.
Them touch buttons.
It pretty much. I think it's a two position slider. You have.
Yep.
Two values. In this case, it's gonna be AM or PM, and. In this case, spacebar is going to toggle between the two, but Alex said, you're going to probably, if you're using touchscreen, you're going to drag it from one side to the other.
I'm pretty sure narrator called them touch buttons or touch. Narrator does not call them sliders. NVDA calls them sliders, but I know narrator doesn't call them sliders. So you basically have the.
Checkbox not checked. Slider.
I don't know what this checkbox is.
Edit. 8:56 PM off 8:56. 8:56 edit checkbox 8:56 PM
but
edit checkbox not checked 8:56 PM
off
7:00 AM add an alarm not selected 1 of 2 7:00 AM add an alarm not selected 2 of 3
I think I just added an alarm by mistake
11:03 PM off 11:03 PM hours minutes 010
I just set an alarm for 11 o'clock
7:00 AM add an alarm not
selected alarm tonight
I wonder what it does
8:50 11:03 PM off 11:08:56 PM off 8:50
And there's no way I've turned these on.
11:03 PM hours minutes 7:00 AM add an alarm not selected 2.
Try go in the list and then do like shift F10 or applications key.
11:08:56 PM off 8:56 PM off 8:00
Yeah, that's interesting because the application key doesn't seem to do anything. Yeah, these natural apps.
Is that checkbox?
8:56 PM off 8:56 PM hours minutes 0102030 checkbox not checked.
Maybe check it.
Checked. Slider. 8:56 PM Next alarm at 21 HRS 53 minutes on 8:56.
Yep.
Oh, you're right.
Yep.
Okay. So what if are you able to use quick nav, like X and shift X to go to the checkboxes or no?
No. There's only one checkbox though. So if I wanted to do the
11:03 PM up.
11:03 alarm.
Edit. Land. Combo box 11 collapsed. Combo box 03 collapsed.
What if I wanted it to be 11:20?
0:00. 02, 11:03 PM, 06.
Do it for like 11:10, because we'll be still doing it. Then we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Checkbox not checked. Slider. 11:03 PM off 11:00.
But see, I don't see how you save.
Edit. Land. Combo box 11 collapsed. Combo box 10 collapsed.
So I hit 10. I hit enter.
Checkbox not. 11:03 PM off.
But it doesn't.
Edit.
I think it probably combo box maybe just sets it by itself at that point.
Checkbox not checked. Slider.
Maybe that's a new alarm.
11:03 PM
another alarm being set, which I think is just crazy. 11:50
Yeah, so just say 11:00 AM and alarm not selected today or
11:03 PM off 11:03 PM hours minutes 0102.
As far as changing the time of the alarm, I don't know how to save that.
11:03 PM off 11:00.
It's so like some things kind of work. That's the problem. Is it's like, oh, I almost got it. And then you tried it again and you can't reproduce it. You can't do it, you know?
Yeah, it's a
pretty flaky behavior.
8:56 PM, checkbox check. 8:56, checkbox check.
Well, it's more like.
8:56 PM,
really seems to be a great thing, but. You can't do much with it. I mean,
I'd love to have an alarm clock on my desktop. I mean,
right now, the only way you can do this is by. Going to the time that you want to wake up at, setting the alarm because it makes a new alarm with that time that you're currently, you know, at, and having those alarms just to turn on. So right now I could wake up at 8:56 AM tomorrow because I have an alarm for that. But
yeah, so pretty much 11:03 PM, 11:03 PM, 7:00.
Right.
Or at least not that we can see. I mean, there's probably a way to just click and hover or something with all the special visual effects and just be like, oh, edit button, you know?
Button that only touchscreen and mouse can get to or something. Who knows?
Something that we can't see yet.
Yeah. What about some of the other Metro apps, Tommy?
Other Metro apps. We have...
default stock, a name, fixed screen, wide memory, three, a name, group, no space, words, and logo, notes, a name, group, grouping, explore user,
none of the games really work.
A name, fixed, zero, gravity, piano, piano, line, title,
the piano works just because it's a piano.
Five in a row.
We showed that in the last
five in a row document, line, title, build popular.
How many are there in total? A little over 20 or so?
Yeah, there's like 30,
I think. A name, group, grouping, build popular session,
yeah, around the Windows runtime, Mac, Windows runtime,
left, clearing, WinRT, right, clearing, the keys of technology used
for all Metro sites. See, accessible. One
build app works pretty well.
Okay. Responsive AP is an app snatch responsive. This matters. There is almost nothing as frustrating to customers as an app that is lacking or unresponsive. Apps don't have to be.
Yeah, so learn how to use the Windows runtime. The applications are accessible.
See, the build app works pretty good.
Build popular session. What's new? .NET Framework 4.5 dash the next major release of the .NET Framework. .NET 4.5 allows you to easily use Windows 8 technologies like Windows Runtime directly from .NET 4.5. Accessing your data is easier than ever with support for the newest fleet. Build popular session. What's new? Visual Studio 11 dash Microsoft Visual Studio 11 enabled. Build.
So pretty much, aside those few apps, the games are definitely not worth looking at. I don't think they're anything fun. I mean, I could demonstrate that cool song
if it could play, but
so I think, I mean, this is probably your favorite part of Windows 8, right, Tommy?
Yeah, this song right here is the great way to end the podcast too.
That is.
I really hope that we covered everything users or dear listeners wanted to hear. I mean, I think we tried our best. System reset, what Metro really means, ribbons, touch interfaces. This is what Windows 8 is about, narrator. Folks. Yeah, narrator too.
Yeah, and how all these Metro apps actually work as far as how they sound and with the screen.
Right. Thanks to both of you for making it today, tonight. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure as always.
Yeah.
And I'd like to encourage people to, you know, via Twitter or whatever, to just, if they want us somehow to cover something we haven't covered, which I don't know, but if there is something that is just burning that you gotta ask, I mean, we might be able to toss another podcast in there.
Right. And we're always up for suggestions, for feedback. And my final words to everyone is sort of, don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be scared of new things. Embrace what's coming up and recognize the past. As Steve Jobs, who was such a great visionary, said, connect the dots. And with that, I thank everyone for listening and hope you stay safe and have a great weekend. Stay tuned in the future for more Windows 8 news, coverage, and information. You can contact me. My Twitter name is TOMI91. And you guys, what are your Twitter names? Just so people know too.
Mine's Kevin Chow, KEVINCHAO89.
I'm Tube Metal, TUBEMETAL.
Right.
On Twitter, and I'm also on Skype as Tube Metal.
So, those are a few ways of contacting us. For any questions or further info, thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Take care.